This is my sort of last wrap-up on Psalms, but actually I feel that I'm just beginning, really. I'm just opening. And I'm doing it all with the help of Unca's dad, Cor, and his paintings. And today I've brought along this one here, in reality, over there by the prayer spot. That painting's called Dawn. It's inspired by Psalm 130. I wait on the Lord and hope in his word. More than centuries wait for the dawn. More than centuries wait for the dawn. And I've chosen that sort of theme for this morning as my closing talk, my opening talk. Hope before the dawn. Reasons to hope. Because another psalm says, tears may flow in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Have you found yourself lying awake at night, in the middle of the night? It's 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock, or all of those in the dead of the night, and you've woken up knowing you're going to spend the next few hours awake and troubled. And finally, you've either reached some resolution or you've simply succumbed to fatigue and you've nodded off. And it seems like a minute later, the alarm goes off and dawn streams through the blinds. And as the sun comes pouring in, you feel that things are not as bad as you thought, that your worries are receding in the sunshine, and that you have more reason to hope. Tears may flow in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And so many psalms seem to be written just like that, in the middle of the night, wrestling with God. And that's our wider theme for this year. We are a people who wrestle with our God, a people who are called a new name in Christ. And within this idea, we remember Jacob wrestling all night with the angel. I will not let you go unless you bless me, Jacob says, and is blessed at last as dawn breaks. And I will not let you go unless you bless me, is so much the tone that we find throughout the Psalms. And not only in the Psalms, but this desire for holding on for blessing continues well into the New Testament. We're reminded of it when we remember the Canaanite woman who does not allow Jesus to dismiss her without a healing for her daughter. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. She persists. And Jesus says, go, what you ask will be done for you. Or in the parable of the woman who pesters the fearless judge until she gets justice. Or of Zacchaeus climbing a tree. No, he didn't fall off because he held on. He held on to see Jesus. And of course, of the woman who makes her way hidden through the crowd for just a touch, to hold on for just a moment to Jesus' robe, for the healing touch from Jesus. And so we too have this hope of holding on for our blessing. And with that in mind, I'd like us to read together a liturgy of hope. Hopefully you've got a copy, but if you haven't, it's up there. And this is not a single psalm. This is all from Psalms, but it's a collection of phrases all put together in a liturgy of hope. I am like an owl of the wilderness, like a little owl of the waste places. Tears may flow in the night. I wait for the Lord, and in his word I hope. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? And speak the truth from their heart. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow. But their swords will pierce their own hearts. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. Let the righteous strike me. How very good and pleasant it is. I will sing to the Lord a new song. The stone that the builders rejected. Let this be recorded for the generation to come. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And the background for that liturgy is this painting, of course, called Today. It's taken from Hebrews. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So today I want to look at some reasons to hope, how the Psalms give way to hope, and how they make way for hope. And with the help of Cor and its prophetic art, we're going to have a journey through hope, I hope. This painting is called The Famine. We hope because we are in need. We're exhausted. We are grieving. We are disappointed. We are let down. We are surrounded by troubles. We are in need. We need our outcry, our longing for sanctuary, our longing for justice, our need for repentance, and our hope of deliverance. We need all this to simply wash over us. We have a need for honesty to wash over us. Search me, Lord, and see how I am. And I think we all share a deep need for our lives to be witnessed, for them to matter, to be witnessed and cared for by a just God, that our lives will be interrupted by grace. And as we come to our Lord with this hope, we are aware of the needs of others, that we may be witnesses and agents of the interruption of grace into somebody's life. I'm looking for support and not judgment. The Psalms cry out, help. And this is often my simple prayer of late. Help. Help, Lord, help. I'm in a famine. I need to hope. Deliverance. There's an uncomfortable amount of blood in the Psalms. For example, the righteous will rejoice when they see vengeance done. They will bathe their feet in the blood of the wicked. And there's many like this, Psalm 58. And a shallow reading of Psalms might say, well, there you go, that's just that bloodthirsty Old Testament all over again. As if we could do that, as if we could stand in such a moral high ground because we're so civilized in the modern world that we're above such things. And I think the slaughter in Ukraine should be enough to remind us that we're no more averse to blood than we ever have been, than we ever have since Cain slew Abel. So we don't stand on a moral high ground. But when we look a bit more carefully at all these enemies in the Psalms, and they're a constant presence, we find them more difficult to pin down. They're not ever really named. Sometimes the enemies are foreigners, but sometimes they're within Israel's camp. Sometimes they are the very friends of the psalmist, and sometimes they're even the psalmist himself, herself. And I think these many pleadings to be delivered from enemies, from snares, from malice aforethought, give way to hope. The hope is that wickedness itself shall be cast from the earth. And even justice gives way to that hope, that evil itself will be banished. And there's a real yearning for that in the bloody Psalms. And in the presence of our enemies, we're a people trying to walk humbly with our God, with justice and with much kindness, knowing we have a Saviour who paves the way for us, knowing we are free from accusation in Christ. And President Zelensky, in his amazingly powerful speech, May 8th, said, "Evil is its own destruction. Those of the sword shall pierce their own hearts." It's a theme. It's a theme picked up by Jesus in describing those who will be lost. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. So we have a hope and deliverance. Deliver us from the sword, and deliver us from the urge to use a sword. Deliver us from accusation. Deliver us from evil. We have hope in Christ and our deliverance. We have hope of inheritance. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. Psalm 47. History is so much folded into the Psalms. You know how baking instructions sometimes say, fold in the whipped cream. For me, with my self-learnt technique, this means I move my wooden spoon around the edge of the bowl and think folded in thoughts as I do so. I think the principle is keeping the ear in. Well, this is how history appears in the Psalms. I think it appears folded in on itself and keeping the ear in. Because we find ourselves both located and dislocated in the Psalms. We're located in the life of David and the generation to which he was a true and faithful servant, flawed as we all are, but upheld in adversity. But we're also dislocated as the psalmists move from David to the time of kings, to the time of exile, to apocalyptic thinking, and sometimes even just in one psalm. There's this folding in of our history. And I think that's the timeless nature of the Psalms, the was and is to come nature. An inheritance is the strong hope for a future that we find in the Psalms, a rebuilding, a passing on to the next generation. One generation shall tell of your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Psalm 145. Because inheritance is the hope that we will all flourish, that we shall bear fruit. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your own hands. And our New Testament crystallization of this hope is that we will inherit in him, in Christ, in our faith and belief in Christ. We shall inherit. We will have a future. We'll be joined one day with David and his generation in a great cloud of witnesses. Hope in our inheritance. We have a hope in fellowship. We hope together. I will praise you in the congregation. It's we who constantly are rebuilding the fields, the cities where we can blossom and flourish, where we can dwell in unity and care enough about each other to correct each other. Let the righteous strike me. Let the faithful correct me. They're not quite the usual verses we reach for in accountability. But aren't they great? Because hope together, hope in our fellowship, is an antidote to contempt. To contempt. One of the markers that researchers have found in the breakup of marriages is the presence of contempt in the relationship. Put downs, degradation. Our soul has had more than its fill of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Psalm 123. So let us not cease to encourage one another. Let us seek peace and pursue it. Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. And okay, now I'm really throwing some paint around. Prophecy. Here's the beginnings of movement. I don't know about you, but I just feel Psalm 139 running through this painting. You knitted me together, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's where we started in our journey through the Psalms, being held in the love of God, being wonderfully and fearfully made. And this is where God has started in his redemption. The last of the old prophets, John, will announce the coming of the Lord. I wonder, did you see that in our liturgy of hope? All I did was move some verses around from Psalms, and suddenly there it is, the message of the New Testament, shining with all its glory. The diamond of Jesus might be a little unpolished in the Psalms, but he's there all right, ready to save. Check out Psalm 110 if you don't believe me. Sing a new song. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. David and his promise of inheritance give way to a hope of Jesus, a hope of a Messiah king, as the working of God's right hand. And Elizabeth and Mary, so much the human part, as we are, of that faith and hope. So that's me. I finished the last of the Psalms a week or so ago, and I felt that they'd just washed over me. I had some feeling that it's okay just to let insomnia rage away till I wrestle my way to a bit of stillness and quiet of soul. And I think you do have to throw paint at the wall and see what sticks. So I've been helped and blessed by revisiting Kaw's paintings. One artist inspires another, and I really feel that sharing of inspiration. I hope it's helped. As Ecclesiastes says, cast your bread on the waters. So I don't think it's an end to dipping into Psalms. I'm certainly going to at some other point, and likely you are too. But I feel it has given me a rhythm, it's given me a hope, and it's let me feel that it's okay to cry out help to God. So I wonder just if in closing, let's read this liturgy of hope again together. I think you've got it in front of you, but I'll go back. I'm like an owl of the wilderness, like a little owl of the waste places. tears may flow in the night. I wait for the Lord, and in His word I hope. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? And speak the truth from their heart. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow. But their swords will pierce their own hearts. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. Let the righteous strike me. How very good and pleasant it is. I will sing to the Lord a new song. The stone that the builders rejected. Let this be recorded for a generation to come. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Lord, thank you for reason to hope. Thank you for being able to come together to hope. Thank you that you blessed your servant David and that you led him out of danger into the right ways. Lord, help us as we face troubles, as we face enemies of your word, as we face our own thoughts that would turn us away from you. Lord, we ask that you bless us, keep us looking at your holy hill. Let us encourage one another. Help us to seek faith, seek peace, and pursue it. And help us to live in the hope of our inheritance with you and all you have done for us, Jesus, and the blood that you have shed, and your care and love for us. Be with us as we go this day and these weeks. And in your name, Jesus, we ask all this. Amen.